to left corner to Aguilla. Aguilla to the left circle. Passing to Yell. A shot. Save made by Aguilla. Rebound. Another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts.
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Logan Gordon.
All right, it is Wednesday, March 27th. Let's get this hour of Flames Talk underway with Logan Gordon. My name is Pat Steinberg. Welcome to our Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studio. Hello, Logan.
Welcome, Patrick.
Another loss to the Blackhawks. That was a difficult Tuesday to watch. Oof. Flames are now 1-4-1 against Chicago over the last two seasons.
Tell you, when that Blackhawks team figures it out, they are going to be a menace.
Wait. Team that has been fighting for 32nd overall the last two seasons. The Flames have three of a possible 12 points against them. Imagine where they might be if, you know, that was a little bit reversed. Overall, four straight losses, six goals in those four straight losses. Flames are having trouble generating much of anything. Logo, this has got to be excruciating for some of the veterans in that room. Blake Coleman, Nazem Kadri, Mackenzie Weegar. Like, this has got to be as difficult a stretch for some of these veterans that they've ever played through in the NHL. And I'm not trying to suggest that we should feel sorry for them or anything like that. It's just, I think from a mental standpoint, this is already, and it is going to continue to be, an extremely difficult time for some of the veterans in that room. For the first time all season over at Money Puck, the Flames are completely zeroed on their playoff chances. And I know that they've already been unofficially eliminated for most of us for weeks now. But it was just another sobering thing going over to Money Puck, just seeing straight up zeros across the board for the Flames on their playoff chances. And it's not that long ago that they were in the 20%. And there was actual thought, hey, maybe this team could sneak in. Maybe this team could go on a little bit more of a run. And Logo, they haven't been in a playoff spot since like game one or two of the season. And now they're 15 points back with 11 games to go. And so the next 3 weeks, I think for a lot of people on the outside, and even for some on the inside, next 3 weeks are going to feel meaningless for a lot of guys, or pretty close to meaningless. And yet, this is a really crucial time for those veteran players who are going to be hating this more than anybody. Like, this is when Nazem Kadri and Mackenzie Weegar and Michael Backlund and Blake Coleman, like, this is when their leadership is going to be put to the test the most, because they can't allow this to just be a miserable march with the white flag waving until we get to April 18th. They have got to find a way to, and results are one thing, but it's the way they play and the way they approach things. And I'm not even criticizing them for how they've done it so far, but just knowing how difficult this final 11 games is going to be, I think this is really going to put this leadership group to the test down the stretch.
Well, I think it's a really fair conversation to have, because you're right. Even though 11 games doesn't sound like that much, it's 3 weeks, man. There's road trips mixed in there. There's, you know, home games on nights that aren't going
to be back-to-backs. There's back-to-back anyway.
It's not, I know 11 games in the scale of 82.
There's
maybe
a trip
doesn't
to
seem,
Winnipeg.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like
just
all
kidding,
that
I'm just
much.
Kidding. I'm just kidding.
Can't even go to an airport there.
Long bus ride from
bus
Fargo to Winnipeg.
So weird, but it doesn't seem like much. Like, you'd say 11 games at 82, that's nothing, but that's 3 weeks of really monotonous trying to find the light at the end of the tunnel for a lot of guys. And those guys that you mentioned, the sort of established veterans with long-term contracts, those are the guys that definitely have to find that second year and, you know, emphasize what it means for this team to finish off the season the right way. And you're right, it's not necessarily results, but it can't look like the first period did against Chicago. Like, that can't be okay for the next 11 games, regardless of who your opponent is, or it's just going to get, it's going to get miserable. It's not going to be fun to come to the rink anymore. And, you know, even just keeping that attitude, right? I know we've heard Michael Backlund talk about that recently, about keeping it a fun place to be, even though it's not where you want to be for the season. It's still important to not let everything that you did this season feel like it was for nothing just because the last stretch of the season it isn't leading to where you want it to be. And I'm very curious how, because I yep. think, you know, for the young guys, it should be very easy, right? For the Zeris, the Pospisils, you know, those kind of guys, the Coronados who are still trying to prove themselves on a full-time basis, you should have that motivation built in because you haven't done it more than 1 year at this league, even for Matt Coronado, less than a year, right? Don't start taking anything for granted. But for the veteran guys that are, you know, under contract, Pat, for a couple years or sometimes longer than that here,
yeah,
big money deals that, you know, aren't really having to worry about their NHL future, how those guys respond is going to be really important here.
And I honestly think it's way easier said than done. Like, Logan and Pat can talk about it all we want, but like, if you know that where you're going is not where you want to be, and you still, like, I think it's a really difficult thing to do. But, you know, for the players that are going to be a part of this thing long term, the leaders who are going to be leading the way long term, you've got to make sure this thing doesn't turn toxic. And you've got to make sure that, you know, for Connor Zeri and Matt Coronado and Martin Pospisil and Dustin Wolf and some of the other young players that might make their way into the locker room between now and the end of the regular season, like, it's got to be a positive place to be. And it's got to, or at the very least, it's got to be a place that isn't negative and isn't going to suck the life out of them. And I'm not suggesting that that is the way it's headed or that the Flames are allowing that to happen or that it's there. Yeah, I'm not trying to suggest that at all, because generally I still think that they've done a pretty good job first period against Chicago or not of fighting pretty hard and not waving white flags in games. And even on nights when they're not very good, the work ethic and the compete seems to be there, but it can't be a situation where this ends up being something toxic and detrimental for the young players on this team who haven't really been through something quite like this. And I don't know exactly how you make that happen. And we can talk, you know, there's a guy who's always, or who chirped me yesterday anyway, on Tuesday on Twitter, said how Shan? Many times, it wasn't Shan, although it could have been, just said, hey, how many times are you going to mention the word culture? And I was like, but you know what? That's part of it. And that is an important part of what the final 3 weeks of the season is going to be, is they've got to have some sort of emphasis on what they're trying to build beyond this year. And honestly, like, you really hope that there's none of the, well, I'm not going to be here next year because I'm going to ask for a trade. Like, you really hope none of that seeps its way into the conversation. But I guess I've got, I think one of the things that you can do if you're the coaching staff, or I think one of the things you can do as a player is still look for things that can be accomplished between now and the end of the regular season. Because, Logo, there are some individual milestones and some individual accomplishments that are in reach. And as much as these guys would far rather be fighting for a wild card spot or in the thick and the heat of a playoff race, at the very least, you've got some individual things that you can work towards between now and the end of the regular season. Like, for instance, Mackenzie Weegar has 17 goals. He scored the only goal in the loss to Chicago. He's already having a career season, but he is two back of the league lead for defensemen in goals. The only two defensemen in the NHL who have scored more goals than Mackenzie Weegar are Roman Josi, who's got 19, and Cale Makar, who has 18.
So if you're Mackenzie Weegar, you've got 11 games left to try to be the leading goal-scoring defenseman in the National Hockey League. I don't think, like, we all saw how dialed in Erik Karlsson was last year to get to 100 points. Like, if I'm Weegar, I'm shooting it even more. And that's something that can drive you when you're on the power play and all that type of stuff. That's one of those individual milestones I'd have my eye on in terms of something that they can, or something an individual can work towards and have as a motivator between now and the end of the year.
And I think you're going to have to do that as individuals on this team, because let's be honest, the team has missed the mark. We know that already. Right, even though the math isn't there, it's there. It's at that point. I know you were doing the numbers on social media as to what the actual math is for it.
Depending on how things go, it could be as early as Saturday night. Vegas would have to win their next two games, and Calgary would have to lose their next two games. But if those things happen, the official playoff elimination could be as early as Saturday night.
Yeah, so it's done. The team has missed their expectation for the year, what they've talked about for so long, even in the face of all these trades, it's missed. But you're right, from a personal standpoint, there should still be something to play for a lot of different guys. You know, I'll go back to what I mentioned about the youngsters. I mean, has it been a great year for Connor Zeri and Martin Pospisil? Yeah, absolutely it has been. But you haven't done that. You're not a full-time NHLer until you prove you can do it season after season. A strong finish to your season is still very important, especially Connor Zeri's missed a chunk of time here, right? Maybe we see him at center and gets a chance to prove himself at that. I know that's something we're going to talk about going on a little bit later too, right? There's different areas to prove yourself for Blake Coleman. You know, push to get to 30 goals. That's not something everybody does in the NHL on a regular basis. You know, Dustin Wolf probably feels like he's got a lot to prove over the last stretch of games, no matter how many it is for him. So while the team and the result maybe aren't in sync with where you'd want it to be, finding the individual purpose for yourself to help the team is going to be, I think you can find with a lot of guys on this team, a reason to be motivated down the stretch. Aside from just the fact that you're a professional and you're competitive, yeah. And I think that applies to a lot of these guys.
You think Weegar can do it? Can 11 games to go. He's two back of Josi. Roman Josi takes about 850 shots a game. So he's got 19 on the year. Can Weegar track down Roman Josi? Can he get, say Josi has three more goals in him. Can Weegar get six between now and the end of the year?
I don't know if he shoots it enough to get to six. That's my only problem.
He is shooting it more than he ever has,
which is why he's where he is. I still don't know if, oh man,
he's a
temp. I mean, Nashville might be home and cooled in the next little bit here. I mean, they could make a push in the Central. They've been so hot lately.
That what they just did on Tuesday night is stupid,
ridiculous.
Down 4-1. And they come back and win in overtime. Like, Bridgestone Arena was a madhouse. And that team is 16-0-2 over an 18-game stretch. That's what that's the example of what the Flames need to do next year.
Suck it, you two.
Like, not
Sphere can beat it.
Not 16-0-2, but
that's what you meant.
I just feel like Nashville's the team. Like, remember, we've used that comparison all year about Nashville traded off all their guys, brought some young players in, almost made the playoffs last year. Now, the Flames are obviously not going to almost make the playoffs this year, but look what they're doing this year. And I'm not suggesting that the Flames have the same pieces, but it's just a reminder that sometimes making the pragmatic moves that you need to make doesn't have to be a franchise killer. And we'll see where the Flames go from here. Anyway,
I think Weeg gets to 20 for sure.
And maybe that's the motivator.
I don't know that he's going to pass Josi, though.
Getting to 20 as a defenseman,
huge.
Flames haven't had a 20-goal scorer since the 2015-16 season.
Dougie?
No, Giordano.
Okay.
Giordano had 21 that year. Last two defensemen to score 20 in a season for the Flames or Mark Giordano, and then before that, 10 years prior, Dion Phaneuf. So Phaneuf in 05-06.
Never got to 20 with Calgary?
No.
Weird. I would have bet money he would have, too.
Unless my hockey.
No, I'm not questioning you.
Best he ever did as a Flame was 17.
I'm not questioning you. I just remember Dougie and how good offensively he was. I was just surprised that he
last year's the first time he ever got to 20. He had 22 last year.
Interesting. Weegs is just crushing his goal total this year.
Yeah. Okay, how cool would it be to see Blake Coleman get 30 goals?
Really cool.
Never done it before. He's already smashed goals, assists, points records on the season. But for a 32-year-old guy who's been such a consummate pro all year long, and I know that the offense has slowed down a little bit here for Blake, but for him to get to 30, that'd be a pretty neat thing. And I really hope it happens for him because it's just he's been healthy. He talked about what being healthy might do for him coming into the season. He talked about how he wanted to be more of an offensive contributor this year, wanted to give a little bit more in that regard this year. Well, getting to 30 for the first time in your career would be pretty neat. And to do that at the age of 32, that's a pretty cool accomplishment. I've obviously, you know, a lot of appreciation for what Blake's been able to do this year, but that's just another one of those things that even from a team standpoint, trying to get Blake to 30. And again, this is not the same. 30 is not 50, but I remember how much of a drive in the 18-19 season when the Oilers missed the playoffs and was a very disappointing playoff miss that year in 18-19. But that was, again, they're not the same player. Please, 780 area code, do not start texting in and suggest I'm doing this. But I just remember the push to get Draisaitl to 50 that year and how much that drove the team. And he got 50 in game 82 at the Dome. And I just remember, again, 30 for Coleman is not 50 for Draisaitl, but it's still something neat. And Blake Coleman getting to 30 for the first time, I think that's a cool team goal the group can build towards as they go down the stretch here.
And for Blake Coleman, you know, to have the career season he's had, like you mentioned, at 32 years old, taking on that extra responsibility while still, I don't know if you disagree with this, I don't think there's been any defensive drop-off in Blake's game.
No, he's been one of their most effective players at both ends of the ice
and
all year long.
And still combining on what I think has been the most consistent pairing for the Calgary Flames all season long with Michael Backlund. You can just put those two together with whoever you want to, and it works, mainly because 11 and 20 work so damn well together. But to have that at 32 years old while not falling off in other areas of your game, it's a massive accomplishment. And to say that the Flames, we know we're going to have 230 goal scorers potentially this year in Sharon Govich and Coleman, I don't know how many people would have predicted at the beginning of the year those would be the two. There were so many unknowns about Yegor Sharangovich. And yes, Blake's hit 20 a couple times in his career, but that was back in New Jersey. Never even did it when he was with Tampa.
Yeah.
So to say he was suddenly going to find the 30-goal mark this season when we knew offense was going to be a question that we were talking about with this team all season long, it's a very good accomplishment and one that's very well deserved for a guy that has been a big part of that leadership group, has been a guy that we've talked to a lot, you know, when those trades happened, about the noise around the team, and was, I think, one of the reasons why they were able to, you know, kind of get the water off their back a couple times when those trades happened. There wasn't a big drop-off until recently.
Flames only had one 30-goal scorer last year when Toffoli hit 34, and you're right, Sharangovich is the other one, and I think, look, Flames have already been proven right. When Craig Conroy made that trade, the big thing the Flames said to themselves, the big thing that sold it for the Flames, big thing the Flames told us publicly was that the biggest thing, there were a lot of different things, two-way game, shorthanded, ability to play all three forward positions. But I think the thing that the Flames were most excited about was what a chance further up the lineup, what a chance with more opportunity Sharon Govich had to really break out and be a whole lot closer to the 24 goal guy he was a couple of years ago, as opposed to the guy who was getting healthy scratch last year. And they've been proven right on that. Sharon Govich is having a career year. He's co-leading the team in goals, and him getting to 30 in his first year as a member of the Flames, I just think that'd be a real nice exclamation point, and something the Flames can hang their hat on as well. Just, hey, that was the first move that Conroy made, and the first move that kind of signified and set the table for the types of moves they were going to make. And it's turned out really well. I mean, we're not even mentioning what Suniev's doing in college hockey. He's having a hell of a freshman year. But even without him, and I don't think you can take him out of the equation, but that's a really nice first trade for Craig Conroy. And if Sharon Govich can hit 30.
It came with a number of risks involved with it, right? You signed Sharon Govich almost immediately when the trade happens. There was no guarantee that he was going to bounce back to those numbers.
Yep.
Right? Especially as we've talked about, you know, this doesn't have the same type of high-end talent as a New Jersey does with Hughes and Heischer and those kind of guys. There was no guarantee that he was going to get back to that 20-goal form, but turns out it was just a matter of opportunity, less so maybe having to play with those kind of guys on a regular basis. As long as he's got that opportunity, he's going to be that guy. And I think it's pretty consistent now out of, you know, parts of four NHL seasons now for Yegor Sharon Govich. I think it's pretty clear to see if this is a guy that's in your top six on a consistent basis, there's no reason he shouldn't be around the 20 to 30 goal mark, especially given that cannon of a shot he's got.
I still think the wing is the best spot for him long term. I just think there's
more consistency there from him.
You unleash his shot a little bit more, and I think he's a little bit more willing to take that shot, and he gets himself in better spots to use it a little bit more. But it started to translate a little bit more down the middle. So, you know, at least we know there's an option there for a group that is very, very lacking future-wise down the middle. I do wonder about Nazem Kadri. He's not going to hit the 87 points he got in his final year in Colorado, but he's 2 points away from having the second-best point total in his NHL career. He's got 11 games to go. He's 10 off of 70. Can he get to 70 points for the second time in his career? And I just think that would be a nice little exclamation point on what has been a really positive year for Nazem Kadri, and kind of a year that I think has rehabbed his image a little bit in some eyes. The way things ended last year, super frustrating. It was obviously frustrating for Nazem. It was frustrating for the Flames. It was frustrating to Flames fans. This year, Nazem Kadri has been a tone setter and a leader and a driver all year. And he's been their best skater, and he's been one of the real positives all year long. If Nazem can hit 70, I mean, that'd be a really nice thing to see.
It would be. And I think the Kadri conversation in itself this year is a really interesting one. And, you know, the new line that he's been a part of that sort of changed so much for the Flames this year that we never would have. I don't think anyone was having the conversation this season. We were talking about where he was going to fit with, you know, is he going to be Sharon Govich? Is he going to be back with Huberto? Where are we going to see this? I don't think anybody would have had on their bingo card, Nazem Kadri taking two rookies under his wing and creating one of the most effective lines for the Flames since they've been put together.
Yeah.
That just wasn't on the bingo card, especially like you said, after last year, where I think a lot of people were left with a negative taste in their mouth that when things don't go their way or things aren't going well for the team, that, you know, maybe Nazem wasn't as committed to doing the hard things or to making the hard play for that. And that didn't sit well with a lot of people. And he came in with a really good attitude. He's maintained it all year long. He's been, I think he's taken on more of a leadership role with this group, especially not just with Zary and Pospisil, but the group as a whole.
Yep.
And it's made a big difference. And does he get to 70? I don't know if he gets to 70 or not. The offense for the team has sort of taken a real step back.
It has.
But as far as, you know, expecting to see the level, I don't expect to see the same drop off we saw last year, because it just feels like a guy that's in a different mindset, is in a different space in his head that, you know, isn't going to allow himself to go down that road. And maybe it is just as simple as, you know, setting the example for the two guys next to him, saying, look, if I, you know, what am I saying to Connor and Marty if I put my foot off the gas the last 10 games? Maybe it's as simple as that.
Read a few texts, 960-960. This says, do the Flames have their first-round draft pick this year? Why would they want to win another game this season? Well, that's not really how pro athletes are wired. By the way, yes, they have.
Locker room, don't care.
I think Blake Coleman's like, guys, we got our first-round pick. We need to get that to be that 18-year-old that may not play for a few years. No, it doesn't work that way. Pat, can you please remind me of what happens with next year's first round pick if the Flames finish bottom 10 in the league versus not? Thanks in advance. I believe with all of the circumstances, it's almost certain that the pick the Flames forfeit in the Monahan trade is going to be one of the two that they have in 2025, either the Florida or the Calgary pick.
So Cap Friendly has it listed as this: if Calgary and Florida are not top 10 next year, Montreal gets the better of Calgary and Florida's pick in 2025. Or if Calgary's pick is top 10 and Florida's is not, then they get Florida's pick.
Which is why I think they're probably going to get Florida's pick. When you think about it, top 10 being like top 10 draft.
Yes, draft order, yes. Top 10 in the draft order.
The way things are going wouldn't surprise anybody if Florida is going to remain a cup contender and the Flames may be 22-32 next year. So could very easily see the Florida pick going to Montreal in that circumstance. Of the matter is they do have their 2024 first-round pick.
Yes.
Keep the text coming. 960-960. We're underway this hour on Flames Talk. Steinberg and Logan, we're coming at you from our Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studio. Wet basement? They have a lasting solution to keep your basement dry. If you experience any water in your basement, contact Basement Systems. They're all things basement-y. Visit dlbasementsystems.com.
This is Flames Talk. Join the conversation at 960-960. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Time now for a Wednesday edition of our Daily Flames Roundtable. It's for Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. Race into spring with a freshly cleaned car. Book one of the 32 service bays at MercedesBenzCountryHills.ca and they'll revitalize your exterior paint finish. It's Steinberg, Logan Gordon, and now the voice of the Flames, Derek Wills, joins us to complete our Daily Flames Roundtable. And Willsy, we spent a good chunk of the first half of this hour talking about, you know, some of the individual things that the Flames still have to play for. We talked about Mackenzie Weegar and, you know, maybe being the leading goal scorer for defensemen in the NHL or getting to 20 goals for the first time. Blake Coleman and Yegor Sharangovich getting to 30 goals. Nazem Kadri maybe getting to 70 points for just the second time in his career. And those are, you know, some of the things that I think, unfortunately, these are some of the things that the Flames are going to have to use to keep them motivated down the stretch. One of the things we touched on briefly was Connor Zary and an opportunity for Connor Zary to continue to keep himself in the Calder Trophy conversation. Maybe he can finish the year as the number two rookie in terms of points per game, which he's been floating around all year behind Connor Bedard. And maybe he can get himself some significant reps down the middle, some significant playing time at center. I think we're all in agreement, because Wills, you and I talk enough. I know there's something you'd like to see as well. So I think we're all in agreement that Zary at center is something we'd like to see. So when's the right time to put him there? When's the right time to start a little bit of a run for Zary down the middle?
I mean, I'd like to see him at center, but I'm going to answer your question with a question and see where you go with it. So if you move Connor Zary to center, who do you move out of center? Yegor Sharangovich?
Maybe, yeah.
I mean, you're not moving Nazem Kadri to the wing. You're not moving Michael Backlund to the wing. You probably don't want to play Connor Zary in your fourth line. So Kevin Rooney probably isn't a candidate to have his job stolen by Connor Zary. So for me, the only move would be Yegor Sharangovich, and I still think the Flames are trying to figure out if he's potentially a long-term fit at center. So I'm not sure there's a right or a wrong answer here. I mean, all of that aside, I would be fine if they did it on Thursday. I would be. I mean, they're not going to make the playoffs. I think this is a great time to try to figure out what you've got, both in players who have been with the team for the entire season, or in Connor Zary's case, most of the season, guys who have only got a handful of games under their belt, guys who don't have any games of NHL experience. I think now is a good time to start experimenting, but I think it's easier said than done moving Connor Zary to center, simply because you'd probably have to move Yegor Sharangovich back to right wing, and I'm not sure that's something that I would be ready to do. I'm not sure how the Flames feel about it. So I'm all up for them trying some new things in the final 11 games of the season, but in order to move one piece, I think you'd have to move another piece, and I'm not sure they want to go away from Sharangovich at center at this point.
I'd be ready to move him to center as soon as Thursday, to be honest, guys. If they think it's a worthwhile experiment, if they think they can get enough of a look at Connor Zary at center for the remainder of the season to get some good information on his potential at that position going forward, then I think you make it happen however you need to in the lineup, because the playoffs aren't going to happen. So if you have to change some things up in the lineup that maybe you normally wouldn't, and whether that is playing somebody at wing or maybe that is, you know, sitting somebody out for a couple of games to make it happen, I'm more than okay with that conversation at this point in the season, because the team goal has been missed. They're not going to the playoffs. And again, if they legitimately think he has a chance to play at center going forward, then I think it needs to be discovered. I think it needs to go through the process here. And I think with 11 games left, as much as it might be a bit of a slog getting there the rest of the season, I think that's enough for you to get at least a decent sample size in of Connor Zary at that position, even if it is just five or six games, yeah, or whatever it is, try him with some different line mates and make it happen. So I'm all for starting it ASAP if they think it's worth their while.
I'm ready whenever. And maybe you wait till they're back home so you can maybe control matchups a little more. I don't know, but I definitely think for some stretch of time, whether it's 11 games, 7 games, 4 games, whatever, I think an extended look down the middle is something that would make a lot of sense, would be more than worth it for the Flames. I mean, look, he is a natural center. He was drafted as a center. He started his pro career playing center before they moved him to the wing last season. And yes, wing is where he's been for the most part the last two seasons. But this is an organization that needs center icemen. This is an organization that needs future center icemen. They are... Michael Backlund just turned 35. Nazem Kadri's 33. And while those aren't old numbers, they also are towards they're closer to the end of their NHL careers than they are the beginning. That's just the way the league works. And so they need to start finding options down the middle for the long term. And do I think Connor Zary is going to be this team's number one center? No, I probably don't. Do I think he could be an option for them to be a number two center down the road, especially if they can find a guy to build around as a 1C? Yeah, and there's a potential for that. And I think getting him some reps matters. And yeah, it's not it's not like a natural way to just do it right now. But, you know, maybe it means you sit Kadri for two or three games, and maybe you do rest Backlund for a game or two here. There are ways, or maybe you do move Sharangovich back to the wing. I mean, they've given Sharangovich a nice run down the middle, and I think that they have a pretty good idea as to what he is. And I think it would be more valuable to have Zary play in those minutes. I think there are ways you can do it. And now's the time, guys, for the Flames to do things they wouldn't have done before. Now is the time for the Flames to make some decisions and make some roster or lineup tweaks they wouldn't do if they were in the thick of a playoff race. So, you know, it's maybe not the most natural thing to do right away, but for some stretch of time, I'd be ready to start at any time. I think Zary does deserve some time down the middle.
Okay, I don't disagree with you guys, but let me play devil's advocate. So at the end of this season, so going into next season, Andrew Mangiapane, the team's number three left winger, I guess we can call him that, is going to be a pending unrestricted free agent. And he's getting up there. Connor Zary's been their number two, number one left winger, however you want to number the lines. Jonathan Huberdeau, obviously, they're locked into him for a long time to come, so you're fine there. But you know, if you take Connor Zary off of left wing, now aren't you short a left winger, potentially? I mean, hopefully Jacob Pelche develops into a guy who could play in your top nine, and he might do that as soon as next season. But I'm not sure that they have more of a need at center than they do at left wing. I actually like their 1-2-3 punch at center right now with Sharon Govich, Kadri, and Backlund. But you know, to your point, you know, Backlund will have 2 years left on his contract after this season. So when you start looking down the road 3 years from now, you're going to have to probably replace him. You know, Nazem Kadri is going to be under contract for quite some time, so you don't have to worry about him. But I do think that they have a need at both center and at left wing, especially if they were to move Zary from left wing to center, and then you kind of create a hole there. If you leave him where he is, then sooner or later you're going to have a hole. You have to fill up the middle. So I guess you'd have to rob Peter to pay Paul in this case.
For sure. And you know, and it doesn't even necessarily need to guys translate to next year right from the get-go, because, you know, game one next year, they're still like they're in it again when next season starts. So maybe you're back to not making the decisions that you would make right now, but it gives you an opportunity. You know, I for instance, like against LA, against Edmonton, against St. Louis. I mean, there's not a ton of good opponents left on Calgary's schedule here. So I think that you can get a decent evaluation, and it's a good opportunity to see what it would be like, even if you don't go that way in October of next year. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, if they did it, I'm not saying I would be up in arms about it. I would be completely fine with it.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to look at things from both sides. And, you know, right now I do like what they've got up the middle on all four lines. With that said, I'm also interested to see if Connor Zary could potentially be a centerman for this team. It's a more valuable position, right? So if he could be as effective at center as he's been in his rookie season playing on left wing, then I think you move him. There's no question about it. We don't know, and I guess that's what makes it an interesting question, guys, is that I'd kind of like to find out, but at the expense of who is what I would ask.
For sure. Daily Flames Roundtable, Derek, Logan, Pat on this Wednesday. Guys, the only goal scorer in Chicago on Tuesday night was Mackenzie Weegar. He's up to 17 goals on the season. And right now that's third amongst all defensemen in the NHL, just two back of Roman Josi in first. But it's a career year, and he has exploded in the goals category this year. We know that Mackenzie is a part of this thing for the long term. He's got 7 years left on his deal after this season. Guys, how much should we get used to this type of offense from Mackenzie Weegar? Is it going to be 17 every year? Maybe not. Is he going to be flirting with 20 every year? Maybe not. But how much should we get used to him being a regular-ish contributor when it comes to offense and goals off the blue line?
Well, I think he's going to be a contributor. Do I think that he's going to score 15 to 20 goals every season? I love Mackenzie Weegar as a player, but I would have to say no. He's 30. His previous career high for goals in a season was 8. So he's more than doubled that total. There's such thing as a career year. And sometimes players have career years, and then the next season or 2 or 3 years down the road, have another career year. But for a guy to score 17 at the age of 30, when his previous career high was 8, I simply don't think that it would be realistic to expect him to, say, double his previous career high again next season and the season after that. He's a really good player, and he doesn't have the hardest shot in the world, but he's got a real knack for being able to get the puck to the net from the point. And there are plenty of players, even some on the Flames, who have a harder shot, but don't have the ability to get it to the net the way Mackenzie Weegar does. So he's been incredibly effective. And a part of it is going to be what role is he playing moving forward? Now, you could argue that without Noah Hanifin and Chris Tanev, he might be playing a bigger role next season than he played this season. Right now, I would argue that him and Daniil Marimanov have become the Flames' new number one defense pairing. They're certainly being treated like that by Ryan Huska. So it's possible that he has another year like this offensively. I don't think he's going to fall off the face of the earth offensively. But then again, I don't think that he's going to probably hit the 20-goal plateau next season. And he's pretty close to being on pace to do that this season. I just think at the age of 30, when his previous career high was 8, this is probably the outlier season. But I could be wrong.
Yeah, as far as offense goes, I mean, the goal conversation for me is I wouldn't be surprised if this was a career season goal-wise from McKenzie guys. But as far as the points overall go, would I be surprised to see this going forward from him? Not really. I think it's been pretty clear his last season in Florida and his first two in Calgary that when this guy has an emphasis on shooting the puck more, good things happen. Even if the puck doesn't go in the net for him, it generally leads to more offense for the guys around him. And he's at a 9.5% shooting percentage, which would be far and away as his career high in a full season. That's just not going to continue for a guy that's averages close to half that at 5.6. So goal-wise, yeah, fair to say that I think this is a bit of an anomaly and he's had some puck luck this season. But by the same account, to think that he's a consistently 30 to 40-point guy from the back end going forward, I think absolutely. And I think given how the back end has changed so much and he's one of the few constants that we know about this group going forward, I think he's only going to be relied on more. I think he's only going to be asked to do more in that instance and bring others along in that way. So yeah, I can honestly tell you, I think this is the version of McKenzie Weegar points-wise that I can see sticking around for this group for the considerable future.
Yeah, like if the shooting percentage, especially for a blue liner, is going to come down a little bit. Agreed. And so, yeah, do I think that he flirts with 20 on a yearly basis? No, but I do think that 10 to 15 range all of a sudden becomes a little bit more, especially with what we've seen from him this year and the way that I think offensively he's come more out of his shell this season. And since the second half of last season, I think that's something that is realistic. McKenzie is averaging overall just under 15 shot attempts per 60 minutes. That's at all strengths, which is a career high and by a career high by a significant margin. And at 5-on-5, his shot attempts per 60, almost 16. And again, significantly higher than they've ever been. Like, he is putting more towards the net by a large margin than he ever has in his NHL career. And the shooting percentage is higher than it is normally as well. So that's helped with him being in the range of 20 and being at the very top of the goal scoring list for defensemen. But I do think that him being a consistent 10 to 15 guy, and especially knowing that he's going to be on the power play and he'll be probably on that number two power play all of next season, I think that, yeah, some more consistent goal scoring in that range is probably fair. And yeah, he's probably going to finish with somewhere around 45 points. It's not all that different. And somebody put this on the text line. I mean, Mark Giordano started to really come into his offensive comfort zone right around McKenzie Weegar's age. And it's taken a little bit of time as a member of the Flames for him to truly get comfortable with that side of the game from the blue line. But now that he is, and now that he's going to be counted on even more and be playing even more minutes and all of that, yeah, I think that that's a guy that you can count on for some secondary offense on a consistent basis.
Well, and that texter makes a really good point. You know, Mark Giordano, I think, played his best hockey in his early to mid-30s, which is certainly not the norm in the NHL. And maybe McKenzie Weegar, you know, Giordano was undrafted, Weegar was a late round pick. Maybe he can follow that same career path. And, you know, if the Flames power play is more productive next season, and I've got to think, even if they're not as good a team, there's a pretty good chance that their power play rebounds next year. It struggled all season. And it feels like when you subtract the talent that they did approaching the deadline, you can't expect it to be better than it was. Maybe they just need a reset next season. And I do think that Mackenzie Weegar will play on one of the two power play units. And if it's better, then that's probably going to lead to some points. And if you look at his goals, guys, he's only scored, I believe, two power play goals this year, because he leads the NHL in even strength goals by defensemen. Mm-hmm. So it's not like power play numbers have inflated his stats a crazy amount. So if maybe that levels out a little bit next season, assuming he's on the power play, which I think he will be, then, you know, maybe he can put up really good numbers again. Do I expect him to score 20 next season? No, but I didn't expect him to score 17 this season. So who knows?
Yeah. It's been one of the cool stories of the season for the Flames, the way things have gone for Mackenzie Weegar. Okay, Willsy, we'll do it on a game day on Thursday as the Flames take on the Blues. For now, have yourself a wonderful rest of your Wednesday. Thank you, pal.
Yeah, have a good night, guys.
He is Derek Wills. He's Logan Gordon. My name is Pat Steinberg. That'll start to wrap us up this hour. Thanks to Cam and Shan, our producers as well. And the Daily Flames Roundtable is brought to you, as always, by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. Race into spring with a freshly clean car. Book one of the 32 service bays at mercedesbenzcountryhills.ca, and they'll revitalize your exterior paint finish.